Today on Real Radio.
What a great statement to walk around on a university campus with that. Silkscreen that on your shirt. Something like, God desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth, because people are going to, on campus, they're going to come up, what is truth? Oh, please, like we haven't heard that one before.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his topical series called, How Do We Get From Here to Heaven? We're in sort of a series within a series, you might say, as Pastor Jack delivers a multi-part presentation called, Is Hell Real? And What Is It Like? It seems that nearly everyone wants to believe in heaven, but not so much in hell. Well, the truth is, of all the people that show up in the Bible, Jesus himself spoke more about hell and eternal damnation than any of the others. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now continuing his series called, Is Hell Real? And What Is It Like?
When Jesus speaks this, he had not yet died. He had not yet been risen from the dead. Did I freak you out? Did you guys track with that? Watch this. Verse 23, and being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And then he cried out and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received good things. And again, this is not the basis for why people go to hell. And likewise, Lazarus, evil things. But now he is comforted and you are tormented. This is not karma. This is about belief. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a gulf fixed, immovable. There's a grand canyon between the two of us, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. Verse 27 is amazing. Then the man said, I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Listen, people. Abraham said to the man, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But Abraham said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, listen, if they're not willing to hear the word of God that's been revealed, if they're not willing to read the Old Testament, remember, we're going back 2,000 years ago, neither will they be persuaded though one rise from the dead. In hell tonight, you name it, whoever's in there, their theology is perfect tonight. They know more than you and I do. They have perfect theology. Do you think those people running around thinking that they were God, do you think they still think that now? Oh my goodness. I know this is heavy stuff, but you know what? I can guarantee you this. You ain't going to get this in any other church. Ain't no church going to talk on hell. It doesn't draw people in. I mean, but you got to know this stuff, because for the believer, you want to be, whoo, man, praise the Lord, I'm not going there. You know? It's like getting to ditch that celebration at your relative's house or something, man. Oh, boy. I know what I'm missing. You know? I thought I'd say that as the holidays are approaching. Wickedness has its day of reward. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7, 2 Thessalonians 1, 7, you guys okay? Yes. Everybody all right? I'm not getting a lot of love feeling tonight out of this meeting. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 7, By the way, this is soon. The Lord Jesus is to be revealed. The word means that it's happening. The Lord Jesus is to be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. It's a reference to the second coming of Christ. Any eschatologists that are in here tonight, you're going to Bible college, Bible seminary, this is a very simple rule. 1 Thessalonians deals with the rapture. 2 Thessalonians deals with the second coming. Two completely different events. In 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 8, he says, the Lord's coming back with the angels in flaming fire to take vengeance on those who do not know God. By the way, it's not like some poor nuts walking around unable to know God. It's like, I wish I knew God. Man, I wish I knew God. And then God comes and judges the guy. How come you didn't know me? That's not what it means. It's the exact same meaning to Romans chapter 1, where it says that though they knew God, they didn't glorify him as God. It means to know about God, but to turn and walk away from God. Remember that little picture of the man walking away and God's tear hanging out of his eye? Do you know about God? Have you flirted with God with some sort of logic? Well, you might be real. I don't know. Have you flirted with God when you were real close to getting in trouble and you said, God, help me? Have you kind of brushed near him when you really needed him to come through for you? You really needed that job and you said, oh, God, if you give me that job, I'll serve you. You knew about God, but you didn't know him. You never let him be personal in your life. The Bible says the Lord is coming back to execute vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence, notice, from the presence of the Lord. Some people have rightly described hell as being where God is not. And I could have a lot of fun. We could actually have a lot of fun talking about how wonderful it is for you and I right now to even be, even in this night, enjoying the presence of God. No human being on earth, no matter how bad life can be, knows what it is to be absent from God. No matter how bad life, if you were imprisoned or abused or whatever, there's still no understanding of what it would be like to be absent from God's presence. The man shaking his fist right now, think about it, at God right now is being blessed by the God he hates. Isn't it amazing? God's patience, and he's so kind. Billy Graham was on the university campus in his early days. In the early 50s, he was speaking, I believe it was at Harvard or Yale. Billy Graham was preaching the gospel. And someone shouted from the crowd, if God is real, I'll give him 5 minutes to strike me dead. And Billy Graham said, in a moment of Holy Spirit wisdom, Billy Graham didn't know how to respond to that challenge. Caught him off guard. He's preaching. You need to come to Christ and the buses will wait and all that stuff he does. And some guy goes, I'm going to give God 5 minutes to strike me dead if he's real. Billy Graham paused, and in a moment, he said, the Lord gave him this word. Do you think that you can exhaust the patience of God in 5 minutes? Is that not an awesome answer? That's right from the throne room, man. All right, God, I give you 5 minutes. You have 5 minutes. God just leans over. You think you're going to tell me when I'm going to kill you or take your life or smash you or send a lightning bolt? Can you exhaust the patience of God in a lifetime of saying, get out of my life, God? He puts up with us. He's so good. You can hate him all your life and wind up getting your nose smashed in, or you might see a sunrise. Look, it's different. He gets a hold of us all in different ways. And all of a sudden, wow, I told you guys before, I'll say it again real quick. I was in Moscow. We were setting up, you know, Knudsen, the dairy company. We had Knudsen, plastic, Knudsen, milk carts, crates. Stand on top. Excuse me. Had a translator. Get up here. Excuse me. I'd like to talk to you about God, please. Anybody want to hear about God? We were doing this in Red Square in front of Lenin's tomb even. It was so cool because we're talking about one risen from the dead, and I made a point to make that a big deal. And I pointed back here. He's dead, but he's alive. And it's kind of cool to be able to have done that. But anyway. But excuse me. And, you know, in Russia, back in the 90s, the people were like, you know, you don't talk to anybody. He's like, a lunatic. Look, kids, a real, come here. There's a real lunatic. And clearly they're from America. And no doubt California. But you have them for like 5 minutes. You have them for about 5 minutes. And you better know how to give the gospel in 5 minutes. And I know it's hard for you to believe, but I can do it in 5 minutes. And I remember standing there and doing that. And a man had a briefcase, and he came up afterward, and he said, listen, I'm an evolutionary biologist in the University of Moscow. And what you said would be fantastic if it were true. And I said, I tell you what. After our dialogue, we had a beautiful dialogue together. I said, I tell you what, why don't you go home today? And why don't you shut your door and you get on your knees and you ask God if he's real? And he said, are you serious? He said this in Russian through a translator. He said, are you serious? I said, yes, I can say that because I know so without any doubt that my God lives, that if you go home and get alone with him and just say, God, are you really real? Is it true that you are real? I have a friend. We email each other now at least twice a week. And he's all over the globe. And recently you've seen him a lot on CNN and Fox. I'm talking about Waleed. Waleed was out to blow people up, literally. And Waleed said, God of the Jews, if you're real and I've been wrong, show me. Do a miracle that I will know you're real. Now, God is not Santa Claus nor a puppet. But when your heart is honestly saying, God, I'm stepping out here, I'm all alone. Are you real? And he said, God of the Jews. For a Muslim to say that is a huge search. Show me if you're real. And he said, in 24 hours, God performed a miracle for him. And he, in that moment, he said, I fell on my knees and I accepted Jesus Christ and I've never looked back since. Amen. That is the integrity of our God. We're still on 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Verse 9 says, these shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power when he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all those who believe in him. Listen to this. The purpose for hell is also to answer every man's prayer. You say, are you kidding me? Nope, it's true. The purpose for hell, to answer every man's prayer. So what do you mean by that? 1 Timothy 2:4 says, for it is God who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. What a great statement to walk around on a university campus with that. Don't even put the Bible. You ought to silkscreen that on your shirt. Something like, God desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth, because people are going to, on campus, they're going to come up, what is truth? Oh, please, like we haven't heard that one before. Make them think. Drive them crazy. God wants you to know the truth. The truth will set you free. Luke 19:14 says, but his citizens hated him in that parable. And they sent delegations after him saying, we will not have this man to rule over us. That's interesting. God wants all people to be saved, but then Jesus talks about the nation, in this particular case of Israel, and its leadership saying, we will not have Jesus rule over us. Get him out of here. We don't want Jesus. John 3:18, he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already. Remember how we started this message off this? I was going to say this morning, it's been a long day. Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light. Is that not true or what? Matthew 23:33. How can you escape the condemnation of hell? Matthew 18:9. They were cast into hellfire. See, what are you talking about then? How does that apply to the... God will answer. The purpose for hell is to answer every man's prayer. Every human being will have at least one prayer answered. Every human being. The man who says, God, I don't want you in my life. Prayer answered. If you keep praying that prayer until the day you breathe your last, I think, this is my speculation, it's probably just a bunch of baloney. But if you keep saying, God, get out of my face, get out of my face, don't want anything to do with you, I don't want to read your Bible, I don't want to know who you are, I think in hell, that's what you hear in your head, your words coming back to you. Perfect recollection, I think, of opportunities. Didn't that man that was in hell not only be so aware of it, but he wanted someone to go talk to his brother so that they wouldn't make it there? The place of hell, as we said, it's where God is not. It's where God is not. James chapter 1, listen, James chapter 1 verse 16 says, do not be deceived. That's that Greek word again. Stop it. Stop being deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. By the way, the Bible's clear. God blesses good people and bad people. God blesses believers and non-believers. Isn't that wonderful? With whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. God is faithful. Listen to this. In hell, there's nothing good there. You're here tonight. You got here by bus, by car, by bike. And you're safe right now. You're comfortable right now. You can't say that in hell right now. People can't say that there right now. There are no gifts there. When you say gifts, what do you mean gifts? Look how crystal clear the sky was today. Feel the fall in the air? This morning's sunrise was spectacular. If you didn't see it, I'll tell you it was spectacular. Those are gifts. Your eyeballs able to see it is a gift. Nobody can say that in hell. You and I have food, we have clothes, we have our health, we have the mercy of God. Nobody in hell can say that right now. Romans chapter 2, listen to this. Verse 4 says, do you despise the riches of his goodness, his forbearance, long-suffering, not knowing that it is the goodness of God that leads a man to repentance? You know why your life's been so blessed? God is saying to you, man, I'm real. Come to me. I'm the one that's been giving you the brains to do what you do. I built a successful business. You know what? God used you to build a successful business. God gave you the brains. It's also, listen quickly, it's absence of his influence. Matthew 25:30. Oh, this is freaky. Matthew 25:30 says, Jesus speaking, that it's the place of outer darkness. The word means the darkest of dark. It's a darkness that can be felt. It's a darkness that strangles you. That's how dark it is. And there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Isn't that weird? It's a darkness that can be felt. I've told you guys before, if you've ever been to the Oregon Caves, they take you into that cavern, and then the national park ranger maniac turns off the lights. And the guy tells you that if you spend something like 3 days in there, you'll go insane. They have people that had gotten lost and they went insane because the darkness is so black. It is perfect darkness that it drives you nuts. It feels like you're suffocating. You try to push and there's nothing there. Remember when Egypt was brought into the darkness of God's judgment and it said that the Egyptians could feel the darkness? That's freaky. Jesus says hell's like that. And it's so terrifying that, have you ever been in a lot of pain? And my dad was not a guy for doctors. My dad was the doctor. And I remember my dad, he'd have us bite on a sock if he was going to stitch up our wound or whatever he was going to do. Just bite this sock. My dad was born and raised on a farm. So here, bite this sock and I'll fix your toe. It's true. A terrifying picture in your mind is to think that the absence of God, how can that possibly be? No hope? Nobody around you? The Bible says it's a place of absolute loneliness. And then we end with this. It's what makes it what it is. Hell is a place of terror for the soul. It's a place of suffering. The Bible says it's a place of burning, and yet you're never consumed. It's a place of absolute isolation. You're not going to be there with your friends water skiing on the lake of fire. It's not going to happen. As I said, it's a place of total darkness. The Bible says it's a place, this is freaky, of forever falling. The Bible says it's a place of unquenchable thirst. The Bible says that it's a place of constant pain. The Bible says it's a place of continual regret. It speaks of it being of a place of unbelievable fatigue where there are people in what is called the lake of fire. Can you imagine treading water with a feeling that you're falling? You're completely alone. And it's almost, you almost die. You're thinking, if I just died, I'd be out of this. But you're dead. You're living a forever death. You never get the opportunity to die. And you say, Jack, man, when I hear that stuff, I don't want anything to do with your God. You know what, my friend? If I didn't love you, I'd knock you out right now for thinking that. Because you know what I'd do? I'd sit on your chest. I'd do anything I could to keep you from thinking like that. You don't get it. The very one you're fighting against is the one you ought to run to. He has told us this. What makes us push away like this?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a scripture-based presentation that takes a look at a serious question that every individual has got to come to terms with at some point in life. Is hell real, and what is it like? It's a key part of Pastor Jack's series called How Do We Get From Here to Heaven, which will continue on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Now, speaking of Monday, don't forget that every Monday night you can catch our television program called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Real Life with Jack Hibbs airs every Monday night, 7 o'clock West Coast time, and that's at hischannel.com. Now, I had a chance to sit down with Pastor Jack and his wife, Lisa, and talk about their new book called Turnaround at Home. It's a fascinating conversation, chock full of insight and biblical wisdom. You're going to like it. Real Life with Jack Hibbs on hischannel.com. We hope you'll come and see us. Our telephone number here at Real Radio, 1-877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.